This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du. My brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, there are two very, very wonderful positive things that have happened of late. Relatively recently in the world of Islam. The first one is a heightened interest in the religion, especially among the youth. People are more interested in Islam, people are more interested in learning about Islam, people are more interested in practicing Islam. Alhamdulillah, they do that confidently, without apology, and it has a huge good effect all around. The second big beneficial thing that has happened is that our classical texts have become much more accessible because of two things. One is translation into different languages, especially now here we're talking about English, and English is one of the major languages into which the classical texts have been translated, and their availability, digitization of that, so their availability digitally. Therefore, this has made it easy for people who are interested in Islam to access information about Islam. But like all good things, there is a downside to it. The downside to it is that somewhere we seem to have lost the plot with regard to the methodology of learning. Now, this is a very, very serious matter because methodology is critical, absolutely essential and critical to benefiting from the knowledge. So, one is the accessibility of the knowledge. Is it easily accessible or is it difficult to access? And the second one is, once I access it, am I in a position to use it and benefit from it? Now, the two are independent questions, and the two are questions which are equally important. And if you ask me which is more important of the two, I would say the second one, which is my capability of taking in and absorbing the knowledge. Unless I have that capability, even the knowledge, when it becomes easily accessible, will not benefit me because I don't know how to use it. So the methodology. Now, this methodology of accessing the knowledge has been handed down to us from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, all the way down to the present day. There's a huge dearth and shortage of people who are capable of preparing others to receive the knowledge. But they are there. Now, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specifically the Ashab al-Sufa, but also all the Sahaba, by definition, went through the school of Tazkiyatul Nafs wa Tarbiyatul Akhlaq before they had access to the data, knowledge in the form of information, which was the Kitab of Allah and the teachings of Rasulullah ﷺ. So, this is one big issue that we need to deal with, which is to say that how can I prepare myself to receive the knowledge? I always give this example, which is the easiest example, inshallah, to understand. That is the example of agriculture. If I was given the best, the most powerful, the most most fertile seeds, most productive seeds for, say, corn. If I take these seeds and I just throw them somewhere in my garden or in a field, some will germinate, most will die, they will be eaten by insects and birds and this and that. And even those who germinate will be very weak and they will not be able to give me a decent crop. Now, even though I had the best seed. So, the fault of that The reason why I'm not getting a good crop or any crop at all for that matter is because I did not plant the seed, I did not prepare the soil adequately before planting the seed. So what is required is for us to, first of all, for me to prepare the soil, so plow the soil, take soil samples, check the pH value, acidity, alkalinity of the soil, check the organic matter content, check the presence of pathogens and so on and so forth, and deal with all of that and prepare the soil to receive this seed. Second thing is, I need to plant the seed in the way that seed is to be planted, because there are some seeds which have to be planted deep, there are some seeds which have to be just literally scattered on the top and then covered with just a little bit of scattering of soil and so on. So, and then the spacing, the distancing, some seeds you can plant them close to each other, others you have to plant, make sure that there is enough space between two seeds so that they have growing space and so on. When I fulfill all of these conditions, and I plant the seeds, then I have to water them. I have to ensure that there is some kind of irrigation system. Either there is enough of natural rainfall, or I have to have an irrigation system which ensures that those seeds will germinate, they will grow, and they will have enough water at that time to be able to grow. And also in that phase of growth, I have to protect this crop from all kinds of threats. There might be threats of pathogens, of insects, threats of, for example, wild animals, cattle, whatnot, eating up my crop. I have to protect my crop from all of this. If I do all of these things, and believe me, there's a whole bunch of stuff, then I will have a beautiful crop which will be in keeping with the potential of those seeds to give me a better yield than anybody else's. Now, this is the exact same situation with the acquisition of knowledge, especially the knowledge of any practice. For example, if I was learning Aikido or Judo, then simply reading a book on Judo, watching a bunch of tapes on videotapes on Judo, listening to a lecture on Judo will not teach me how to fight. They will teach me about Judo. But if I go out of that lecture hall and I am mugged on the street, I will be dead because I will not know how to defend myself because I did not learn to practice Judo. I only learned about Judo. Exactly the same thing with Islam. Islam is the name of a practice. It is not the name of a theory. It's not the name of a concept. It's not the name of a philosophy. It's the name of an actual practice. And therefore, unless I practice the deen, and when I am practicing it, it will be painful because it will be a new thing, especially depending on at which stage of my life I start practicing it, depending on what all I have been doing with my life until that stage. That practice will be easy or difficult. But if I want to benefit from it, I have to actually practice the deen. And then as I am practicing, like for example, if I am training to become a surgeon or a physician, once I finish the theoretical part of my study, then I go into what is different places. One is called residency, another one is called house surgeonship and whatnot, meaning that I am now practicing medicine or surgery under the supervision of a professor, under the supervision of a senior doctor, senior physician, senior surgeon, who watches me as I practice. He or she will then guide me, they will correct me, they will give me feedback, they will make sure that I do it in a way which is safe for myself as well as for my patients. Now, once they are satisfied, then they give me what is called in Arabic ijaza, what is called in English a degree. And this degree then entitles me and makes it possible and legal for me to go practice medicine by myself, independently, without being supervised. Now, this is exactly the same process which used to be for Islam and which still needs to be. This is what we need to bring into the system. But unfortunately, I'm looping back to my original statement, and I'm saying unfortunate because the good side of it, which is that classical texts and so on, became easily accessible, what went out of the window is this whole process of training under a person of knowledge. We somehow assume that this is necessary for agriculture, it is necessary for repairing a bicycle, it is necessary for medicine and surgery, it is necessary if you want to learn how to drive a car, but for some funny reason, it is not necessary if I want to learn about the only thing in which matters in life, which is the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how to benefit my akhirah. Now, it sounds completely insane, but that is our... seems to be our focus, that training under somebody, following a process of learning and training under a senior person is necessary for everything in life. Nobody ever questions that. If you question it, people will say you are stupid. If you say, well, why do I need to train, learn to drive under somebody? I know about driving. I can watch videos on driving and so on. I'm going to take my car and go. You will kill yourself. Even if you don't kill yourself, you will go to jail because you have no license. You have not practiced under somebody. Nobody will ever even question this. But as far as Islam is concerned, everybody is an instant mufti because you managed to watch a few videos. You went to this weekend course and that weekend course. Or you picked up this book and that book and you read on your own. And for a lot of us, if not most of us, they are not even reading the original text in their original language, which for all the original fundamental books is only one language, and that is Arabic. We don't know enough Arabic to read them and understand them in the exact way and form in which that text is written, the classical Arabic. We don't know that. So we access them in our own languages, which are Urdu and this and that and English and whatnot. Alhamdulillah, no problem with that. By all means, access them, read them, learn. But if you consider yourself to be an expert on that basis, that you watched a few videos, you went to some weekend or other courses, and then you read this book and that book, and the translation of that, including the Kalam of Allah, including the Quran al-Kareem, and you think you are an expert, believe me, you're not. You are, like they say in Urdu, Neem Hakim Khatra Jaan, Neem Mullah Khatra Iman, the semi-doctor, the quack, is a danger to life, and the semi-mullah, the semi-maulvi, the semi-alim, is a danger to Iman and Akhirah. And that is where you will be. So, I strongly advise you, those of you who are interested in Islam, I applaud it, I praise it, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He put this interest in your heart, and I ask you also to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He put this interest in your heart, and then I advise you to study and follow the deen methodically, systematically, as it has been taught and sent and taught and as it has come down to us through 1400 years of scholarship. We'll talk more about this, but think about this. If somebody is going to trash 1400 years of scholarship and say that I have read this and therefore I am the expert, I do not need anybody else. I don't need any of the ulama and the aima. I don't need any of the sahaba. Wallahu alam, I need Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself or not, but I think I am good to go with this, because I can read the Quran, I have read a translation in English or whatnot. Please, believe me, save yourself from the anger of Allah. Save yourself from the hellfire. Because if you practice Islam in that way, you are headed for the wrong place. And I strongly recommend, please don't do that. If you want to learn the deen, learn it systematically. Otherwise, just follow your faraid, fulfill whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard on you, and you are good to go, inshallah. But if you don't do that, if you insist on taking bits and pieces from here and there, this translation, that translation, and then based on that, if you want to pronounce rulings and fatwas, then may Allah help you, and may Allah help those who follow you, because on the day of judgment, you will become answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for playing games and for joking with His religion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this calamity. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.